Hello, this is Pastor Darren with Racine Bible Church. You're listening to our Firm Foundation class, The Doctrine of the Church. This class will help you better understand the nature and purpose of the local church, as well as the way we believe God has designed it to function. Our hope is that you'll be better equipped to serve and love the body of Christ. Thank you for listening.
You can tell I'm not Darren Bowers. Our pastors are in Louisville at a pastor's conference of some type. Anybody know what it is by any chance? They go there every year. And so he's asked me to try to fill in tonight, and so I'll try to do that. So I really need your cooperation. All right, sound good? So let's go ahead and let me just read a scripture and then pray, okay? Get it started. This is one of my favorite scriptures I've been reading lately, and I just love it, and I just thought I would be thankful for this and listen to it. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have blessed us so much. You've been so kind to us. We were talking earlier before class about how Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us a salvation like this. And Father, we thank you that you've placed us in the body of Christ. People will be here for six, seven months. I don't know how long, but they'll be here for quite a while. And sometimes we have a lot of people that come here once a month. Sometimes they'll come every week. Sometimes they'll just be now and then. There's still a group of people that'll come at Christmas and at Easter. And you do what you can. But we're not here to point a gun to somebody's head. God wants us to, he approaches us kindly. He wants us to be kind with people. But at the same time, they should recognize that they should be a member. And what you say, I think, has some credence. We should look at that and make sure that it's taken care of. Let's go down into biblical metaphors for the church imply a type of church membership. Ephesians 4:16, for from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Obviously, there are parts put together in the church. Everybody has a different gift. People have different gifts. They have different skills and abilities and talents. And God intends them to be put together to be used. And that's one of their main focuses of the ABF, is to make it kind of like a small church, to use your gifts. To just come to a church and be a member and not do anything is kind of against Scripture, because the Scripture tells us that we need to be helping our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be helping, serving the church. We like to see a person who is coming to the church and is a member, we like to see them working in something. Whether how little it is or how big it doesn't matter. If all the one gift, you say, well, some people have all the gifts. Well, some people have a lot of gifts. But if all the one gift people would all take up a job and do something, the work could be taken care of. So it doesn't matter how many gifts you have. We all have been given at least one gift, and we just do that and serve in the church. But God wants us to recognize that we're fitted together for a purpose. He gives this church certain kinds of gifts. He gives them a certain number of these kind, a certain number of these kind, because he knows what we need. He will bring them in. If we don't have it, then we pray and we ask God to help provide it. Romans 12:4-5 says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of it, members of one another, members one of another. So we're all members of this body of Christ, and he wants us to work together. He wants us to serve each other back and forth. He wants us to confront each other when we see that we're sinning. And I'm not saying that every time you see somebody doing something wrong, you go, point, that's not right. You have to earn the right to speak into a person's life. So when you're in a smaller group and you get to know each other and you get to make friendships, then you earn the right to be able to talk to a person. And then when you get a person who's, say like an ABF leader, then they have sort of a responsibility to do that as well. So that would add on top of it. But that would give them, the fact that they're the ABF leader would give them a certain amount of right to speak into a person's life. But we're not running around chasing people down for, I saw you run that stop sign the other day. That's not what we're doing. We all know we're sinners. But we're trying to do the best we can to keep the body of Christ pure. It's important that we do that. It's important that we keep the leadership pure. Because if you have leaders who are not genuine Christians, and that's one reason why it's important to have a membership, because in fact it's going to come out down here. Let me go back one page. He makes this statement. This is Mark Deaver. Again, this must be clearly understood. Membership in a church is that church's corporate testimony to the individual member's salvation. So if I have looked at, we've looked at a situation and we've said, this person has a testimony, we see he has received Christ, we see his life, his following the Lord, we see that, then the church says he's a member. Well, that gives him the confidence to know, yeah, I really am. Because you know how sometimes you wonder, oh boy, what am I doing? Some people will start to doubt their salvation, depends on how long they've been a believer and things, but that the church has looked at the situation and they believe that they're a genuine believer. And so that helps a public testimony of this individual's salvation. It helps to know that, hey, they see I'm a believer, they believe, they watched my life for a while, they've heard my testimony. That gives them the confidence also, yes, I really am a believer. Because sometimes people can doubt their salvation. You know how that goes. Let's see. There's back on the other paper, right below that statement, by the way, it says the practice of early church gives ample warrant for church membership, and they quote some verses that are out of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5, where it talks about ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women added to the Lord, okay, added to the church, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers, and day by day, this is verse 46 of chapter 2 of Acts, day by day attending a temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And the Lord added, verse 47, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the Lord's adding to their number day by day. So we're getting more people who are becoming Christians. And that, again, kind of points to the fact that you may have your name, in fact, it's going to say this in this one thing here, you may have your name on an index card, says you're a member, you may have your name on a disk in the computer. But I'll read that to you right now from Mark Deaver on the bottom of the third page. Biblically, if one is a Christian, he must be a member of a church. Okay? Leaving aside the concrete particles for a moment, all those details, whether membership lists are kept on a white cards or on a computer disks, we must not forsake our regular assembling together, as Hebrews 10:25. This membership is not simply the record of a statement we once made or of affection toward a familiar place. It must be the reflection of a living commitment, or it's worthless. If you're a member of this church and you say you're a believer, but yet you're not committed to the body of Christ, is that really? How is that, since I've received Christ Jesus as Lord, let me learn to walk in him, Colossians chapter 2. There's in the very back page, there's a expectations of church members. I did not have this when I became a member, but I think it's good. To listen to the teaching of the Word and read the Word on your own, it's important. If you're going to be a member of the body of Christ, if you're really going to be functioning the way God wants you to function, you need to be in the Word. We need to be hearing the Word of God. We need to, and I don't know this for you, but it's hard for me. I have some time in the morning that I get to be in the Word. And I try every day, if I got a little dull moment, I try to do it. But in the morning, I have some time. But sometimes, if somebody's sick and they're up all night long scratching their eyes, like your brother, you don't get to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning, and then you get up and it's gone. So you have to grab for those times. But God wants us to be in the Word of God daily, because you're not going to get it from even Fox News. You're not going to get it from Fox News. You're not going to get it from CNN or MSNBC or any of the other off the television set. You're not going to get that. We need the Word of God interjecting into our life. And I don't know if you know, but I notice just because when I used to go through the Bible in a year, okay? I did that for some time, and then I stopped because I just think it was getting rubbery or something. So I stopped doing that, and I just started going from book to book and just worked my way through a book. But the Lord knew what I was doing. He knew my plan to get through the Scriptures. And so as I'm going through this thing, he knew what I needed, what was coming up. Those verses would come up, and I would use this. If you're staying in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take that and he'll put it to work in your life. He wants us to be in the Word. He wants us to read the Word of God on our own. And I found out in my older years that it's harder for me to keep my focus when I start reading like a longer portion of Scripture. I have started listening to Scripture a lot, and even that can get you rubbery. Don't be careful. But I'll use that to get through larger portions of Scripture. I'll go through it like that way, listening for different things. But it's important that we have the Word of God coming into us. It's important to memorize Scripture. And I tell you that as a person who is guilty. I wish that I had Awana when I was, I'll blame it on that. I didn't have Awana when I was growing up. I didn't become a Christian until I was 24, so I didn't have Awana, right? But I wish I had memorized more Scripture. I have my Scripture memorized, but it's harder. I'm 71 now, and it's harder for me to memorize Scripture as I've gotten older. I used to be able to memorize anything in the world, and now I just don't have that same ability. I think it happens, at least to a lot of people, as you get older. But God wants us to be in His Word. So if you can't memorize it, you need to be reading through it. We also need to be reading through God's Word. Faithfully attend church services. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You've heard that plenty of times. Pastors always use that on you, right? And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. And if we don't recognize the day of the Lord is drawing near, I mean, they've been counting on the day of the Lord drawing near for a long time, but boy, things sure look like the Lord's coming very soon, just looking at the world events and just looking at what's going on with Israel and all the prophecies have been fulfilled and how they're back in the land and looking at the evil that is going on in the world. When you look at the prophecies that talk about end times and how evil is, how wicked are going to become more wicked, the evil is come in the last couple of years has just escalated horrendously. It's a huge indication to me. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, but it seems like it's getting close. But these things, if you don't meet together, you can't meet together if you're on your blind, my hunting blind over here, and he's on his hunting blind over there, and he's down the river at his favorite fishing hole, and I'm on the golf course in my favorite spot. That you don't meet together that way. God wants us to join together and meet together to edify each other, edify the Lord, and worship him. So he wants us to be faithfully attending. Does that mean you have to be at every single service? I like to be at every single service, but I can't. But no, it doesn't. There's things when it's not appropriate. I know when my brother has a church of 25,000, because the church that I used to belong to, if you didn't go to church every Sunday, it was a mortal sin. And if you died with that, you're going to hell. So there's a little motivation if that's what you believe, see. So you can get bigger attendance numbers for that if you do that. But it's important that we meet together. And there's times when we just can't come. But there's times when it should be our normal thing to attend the church services. To become involved in ministry. This requires two steps in addition to attending corporate worship services. Join an ABF. There we go. Join an ABF. And serve the church body in some capacity, in some way. I have my one son. He cleans off the tables after ABF class. He does that. He likes to make birthday cards for people in the ABF. I got another son that does very similar things and shares the gospel and loves the Lord and helps an awful lot with the body of Christ. But we can do what we can do. We can't do everything. Not everybody can be like Pastor Spencer. Not everybody can be a Darren Bowers. Not everybody can be anybody, you know, whatever your thing is in the church. Not everybody can be a soloist in the choir. You just do what the Lord has given you to do. He's given each one of us at least one gift, and we just implement that and put it to use. Everybody can be kind and try to help other people. And he gives several verses on down there, and it'd be a good thing to look into that, look into the time here. And then to give faithfully to the ministry as the Lord has blessed you. He expects us to give back to the ministry. He doesn't give us an amount to give. He doesn't hold an axe over our head telling us we have to give this much or this kind of thing. He just trusts Christ in us to know what we should give. And I think the longer you have follow the Lord, the longer you have tried to be faithful and give, you'll find out that he just takes care of you. You didn't think you could afford to give that, but he just takes care of you. I think the Lord really wants me to give to this person, but how much money have I got left here? And I'm not telling you to overdraw your checking accounts or anything like that, but when you follow the Lord and obedient to him, he just has a way of taking care of you. I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that he's a wonderful God and he does that. To follow faithfully, give faithfully to the ministry as the Lord has blessed you. To love and care for others in the body. He wants us to help take care of each other. We have all kinds of people that need help. We have all kinds of older people that need help. We have people in our ABF that they need help just to get their television. They get a new television, they can't figure out how to hook it up. A lot of us can do that. Some people can, some people can't. But if you've got that ability to do, go help them. If they have a hot water heater that's not working, you can go look at it and help them to know, but do you need to replace this or can we just do this and it'll take care of it? The refrigerator doesn't sound right. Well, what is it? You know, if somebody has that ability to listen to that kind of stuff, then they can do that. We can help each other back and forth. That's part of what God wants us to do. Anybody else got any more comments about those kind of things? Because there's lots of things that we can do. Don't have to be somebody every Sunday. I don't know who it is now. I know who it used to be. He passed away, went to heaven. Bruce Deffenzeller. He used to come on every week after the church service sometime in the first part of the week, and he would go and straighten out all the chairs and clean all the bulletins and stuff and any breath mint wrappers. Whoever's, if you want to invest money, if I said breath mints, because Christians got a lot of breath mints, they leave the wrappers all over the place. But he did that every week, just faithfully took care of that. And it's just maybe it's a little thing, but it's important. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has something to do. That's all that they had in there, a love and care for others. So you can see that's not a horrible thing to become a member, to try to do those kind of things. I would say that most people who love the Lord and are committed to him will naturally want to do that. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to want to do those kind of things to help each other. So I don't think this is a horrendous thing. It doesn't say it in here, but it sure said in the scriptures that, where were those scriptures? He says in the scriptures that God has given elders in the church. And notice that our elders, and this is something I really noticed in this church that I haven't seen in too many churches that I can think of. We have elders in their church. Some of the elders are pastors or ordained ministers. We have five of those. And we have other elders. And those elders are not picked out because they have tremendous financial skills. They're not picked out because they have business sense. They're not picked out because they have electric, they can know how to fix it. The deacons all be picked them out because they can fix this or this. They're picked out because God, they want to bring them into the body of Christ to do. Now, if you're a deacon, yes, you have some skills that you can offer. If you're an elder, they don't require that an elder be somebody who has got all kinds of business skills and managerial skills and this kind of. They're looking for people, and he said it the other night on Good Friday, they're looking for people who love the Lord and who love people and are willing to help them out, willing to help them if they're having a difficult time, willing to help take care of them if something needs to be taken care of, willing to talk to them if they can see that they're getting into some things they shouldn't be getting into. There's sin in their life, and they need to talk to them. You know, somebody needs to talk to them about it. That's what he's looking for elders. So he's not, in a lot of churches I've been in, the leadership are the people who are the business people, the people that know how to do business, the people that know how to do finances, the people that know insurance, the people that know this kind of stuff. Some people may have those kind of skills, and that's great, but they're looking for people to shepherd other people. And I think that is, to me, it's so important. It sold me when I first came here. The heart of our elders, I'm not an elder yet, I'm an elder in training, and there's a vote coming up. But what I've really been impressed with is their heart attitude. When we're in an elders meeting, their heart attitude is they love the Lord. They are not interested in growing a great big mega church. That's not their heart at all. Their heart is to be able to bring people to Christ, raise up people who can learn the gospel, embrace the gospel, learn the gospel, be able to share with other people so they can share the gospel with other people. The main focus in our church is to win people to Christ and to glorify God. And yes, we're building. We're probably going to be building here soon because there's probably a potential for a lot of growth in the area. But their heart is that the last thing they want is just to grow a great big church with a whole bunch of people and nobody knows who anybody else is and they're all going all directions. They're not interested in that. If they're going to have people come into the church, they want to be able to care for them because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Let me see if I have it. Also, on there, I don't know if you noticed it, but on the, I passed out, they put a pile of church covenants over there. Oh, okay. This covenant here, I don't know if you noticed it, but it was in the little handle that the ushers give us when we go into church. I took that because this covenant was written in smaller print, and I put it in the front of my Bible because this is a good thing to listen. We'll just read through it. We got time to just read through it, but just listen to what, what we have become a member. This is what we covenant to do. Having been born again by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and being justified on the ground of His shed blood, and having confessed our faith before men, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into a covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We purpose therefore by the power of the Holy Spirit, and notice that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in your own strength. You can do a little bit, but you'll never get anywhere. By the power of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this body of believers in knowledge, holiness, love, and comfort, to promote spiritual maturity, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of this ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel of Christ to all nations. We also propose to maintain family and private devotions, to educate our children in the Word of God, to prayerfully and lovingly seek the salvation of our family and acquaintances. Well, these things are all important for us to do. And that doesn't mean that you have your family devotions every single day without fail. We like to do it, don't we, David? But we don't get it every day, do we?
No.
Things get run out, you know, things happen. But we try to have a pattern in our life where we're doing that because it's really precious to us to have that time. In fact, David usually leads our devotions. He's the one that does the reading for us. We propose, too, by the grace and power of God, that as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, we will abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, that we will put away from us all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, avoid all gossip, excessive anger and backbiting, and we will be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. That's our family verse, that last one part. We further purpose to watch over one another in brotherly love. That's how we do, back and forth, in brotherly love, in our home, in our groups. To remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate and express Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy of speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the words of our Savior to secure reconciliation without delay. You know, if you got something against a brother or sister, get it taken care of. Because you really can't walk in the Spirit if you're against somebody, you're mad at somebody, there's something between you. We moreover purpose that, should we remove ourselves from Racine Bible Church, we will, as soon as possible, unite with another church where we can carry on the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. In other words, if we do have to move, we're going to come and say, hey, we're going to do it again. We're going to join another group of believers. God wants me to. He wants us to do that, and we're going to do that. And so this is what we propose. And so if you're a church, if you're going up for, if you become a church member, this is what they want you to do. Is everybody perfect at this? Are you perfect at it? No. Usually I'm the treasurer. We're not. But we do the, you know, God wants us to do the very best we can. He wants us to, when we don't do that, He wants us to know it. He wants us to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in us convicting us so we can turn and do the right thing. Okay, so what do you think? Does God's Word want us to be church members? Or do you think it's fine to not become a member and just sort of sit out and not become involved? The generation that I grew up in, is I think they were known for not wanting to get committed to things. But God wants us to be committed to Him. He wants us to be committed to other believers in the Lord. So, let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You that You've given us Your Word and that You show us that You've placed elders in the church to oversee us, to help us, that You've given us each other, that we can help each other, and that You've given us the Holy Spirit in us to carry this out. Without Your Holy Spirit's power within us, Lord, we don't have a shot in the dark to carry these things out. So thank You, Lord, for providing that for us. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. I pray, Father, that we'll just every day be in Your Word because You want to speak to us. You want to prepare us ahead of time for things that are coming that we'll need to remember Your Word to handle. So thank You for that. I pray for pastors that are down in they're at the conference. I just pray for safety. I'll help them to get a lot of good word from the different pastors that are preaching there. Help them to be convicted of things they need to do. Help them to be encouraged to work with the body of Christ and to help other believers to know You and to go out and to share the gospel with other people. Thank You for that. We pray for safety as they come back home again as well. We pray for a safe ride home tonight. And we pray, Father, that as we talked about these things, that You will comfort us in our heart that we love You and we want to love the children and Your family as well. We thank You for all these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thank you for listening.